And we appreciate so much all of our folks here who help us do the day-to-day things that have to be done. And if a congregation does its work, and if a congregation glorifies its Lord, a lot of you guys did a great job of helping to provide for Lonnie's family the other day. And I know tomorrow many of you are involved in helping to serve the family and friends of Terry. Remember that the memorial at 3 tomorrow afternoon, there'll be many people present who may not be even familiar with the church. So if you can come and be with us for that, I know that would be much appreciated. Thank you guys for being present to help make the visits, to teach the classes, and to care for the needs like that. On Sunday nights this whole year, we have been investigating some of the great questions of life as they're phrased in the Bible. And this is one of them tonight. I've chosen Galatians 1 and verse 10. Paul says, "For am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ." There are many times in our lives where we have to be able to ask ourselves who it is really that we're trying to please. We'll find out in some cases that that will be the one thing that may keep us headed in the right direction. It may keep us making good choices. It may keep us trying to do what we can in life for the Lord. Who am I trying to please? Whose approval am I seeking? There are some times in our lives where we'll need to be prepared to say this maybe to other people, like Paul does in this letter. We'll find out, I know this comes as a big shock, that people can be hard to please and you can't please all of them. And even if you could, that would not be a very solid foundation upon which to live. One of the national news magazines used to have a little section in it early in its pages, the first two or three pages, where it would take individuals who were in the public eye, and it would show whether they were trending up or trending down. And I would notice sometimes that one week somebody could be up, and in the very next issue he could be way down. That's how the favor of people really is. People can forget. People can have their own agendas. People can criticize. And we have to be able to ask of others sometimes, really, whose servant am I? Who am I trying to please? I thought it'd be good for us to consider this statement that Paul makes here, and it might help us to be aware of just what is at stake in this passage when Paul raises this question. And really, if you look at it in its broader scope here, you notice that one of the things at stake here is appreciation for what the real nature of the gospel is. Does the gospel depend on its popularity? Does it depend on who, how big the crowd is in agreement with it, or versus how big the crowd is in opposition to it? Does the gospel change, and should it be subject to change with the changing ages, the decades as they go by, or the centuries as they go by? In verses 3 and 4 of Galatians chapter 1, Paul has said, "Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to deliver us from the present evil age, according to the will of God our Father, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen." This is one of the shortest of all of the greetings or all of the opening statements of Paul's letters in the New Testament. And a reader who's familiar with his letters can see there's some tension in the background of this one. Of course, he gets right into it in verses 6 and following. Look at the elements of the gospel here that have given us a chance to call God our Father. First, our Lord Jesus Christ gave himself for our sins, paid the price for us. Secondly, he did this in order to deliver us from the present evil age, both from its ways and from its fate. And he did this, thirdly, according to the will of our God and Father. God planned it and did it on purpose in order to deliver us at the cost of his own Son. And to Paul, that means that the glory is due to the Father. And for glory to be sought for self, or for it to be deposited in other people, would be a terrible mistake due to the nature of the gospel. Secondly, what's at stake here is respect for and toward what I will call revealed religion, if I can use that phrase. One of the things that is happening in this text is that Paul is under criticism himself for trying to please people. And what they're saying, what his critics are saying of this guy from a Jewish background, goes to these regions in Galatia or Asia Minor, Turkey as we would know the region today, and he doesn't require people to keep the law of Moses or the practices of the law just because he's trying to please people. And Paul says, wait a minute, look at verses 11 and 12. For I would have you know, brothers, that the gospel that was preached by me is not man's gospel. It's not a man, in other words. For I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it, but I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ. He'll describe this a little bit further as this chapter goes along, but the idea is, first, the Lord appeared to him on the way to Damascus, if you remember, and then second, the Spirit inspired him or revealed to him what the will of the Lord was that he was to teach to other people. What he writes is by revelation in that way. And this is a concept that needs to be really thought about by all of us in a world where we think everybody invents his own reality. To have something that doesn't come from within a man, but comes to man from heaven, that's a different concept. But that's what is claimed by Paul for what he teaches about the faith of Christ. And that's at stake here if we're just trying to please somebody. And then third, what's at stake here is Paul's own personal integrity. Whether he acts and behaves in keeping with his own honor and what he knows to be true and with his own commitments. Look at, really maybe I should back up and start at verse 13 and just read this. For you have heard of my former life in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God violently and tried to destroy it. And I was advancing in Judaism beyond many of my own age among my people. Let me stop here just a second and observe that if Paul were really interested in pleasing people, the thing for him to have done would have been to remain the Pharisee and to kept on doing what he was doing. He was advancing. He was pleasing. It was pleasing the crowd in that way. So extremely zealous was I for the traditions of my fathers. But when he who had set me apart before I was born and who called me by his grace was pleased to reveal his son to me in order that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately consult with flesh and blood, not with anyone. If you follow the thought, Paul changed from being a persecutor of Christ to proclaiming Christ because of his own integrity to what the Lord required of him. What he did before, he did because he believed it to be right. What he did afterward, he did because he knew it to be right. And the reason that he was not seeking to please man was his own personal integrity, his loyalty to God in that way. I wonder if those things are still, at one time or another, at stake with you and me when it comes to who we're serving and who we're trying to please and whose approval we're after. I would think so. Now, take one step farther. What does Paul mean now by what he says about not pleasing men or not seeking approval of man but of God? Well, there are a couple of things that he cannot mean here because of what he says in other places and what he says in this letter. So think of what cannot be meant here. First, he's not saying that he is totally, that there's a total absence in his life of any regard for the views of other people or the scruples of other people or the convictions of people. To put it another way, Paul is not saying that he has no interest at all in whether people like him. Being a human being means that we want people to like us. And being a servant of Christ means that we have to be people who are considerate enough of other people that we can try to be compassionate for them and to care about them and to get a hearing from them. In Paul's letter to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, there's a longer paragraph about this that really starts at verse 19, but let me come down to verse 22 with you. He says, "To the weak I became weak, that I might win the weak." He's already said he would become like those under the law to win them. He would become like those that are not under the law to win them. And then he says, "I have become all things to all people, that by all means I might save some. I do it for the sake of the gospel, that I might share with them in its blessings." What Paul is saying here is he could go from one place to another and make himself the servant of everybody he met, taking into account their consciences and their convictions in order to have the opportunity to tell them about the gospel of Christ. A little bit later in 1 Corinthians in chapter 10, at verses 32 and 33, he's winding up the discussion I've just read from, and he says, "Give no offense to Jews or to Greeks or to the church of God, just as I try to please everyone in everything I do, not seeking my own advantage, but that of the many, that they may be saved." The fellow who asked in Galatians 1:10, "Am I trying to please man?" says in 1 Corinthians 10 and 33, "I try to please everyone and everything, but up to the point of the nature of the gospel or respect for revealed religion or of his own integrity." He can be understanding. And he can work with people in that way. Another thing that Paul can't mean here is that the faith that he is now proclaiming is simply another legalistic approach to relation to God. He doesn't mean here when he talks about the approval of man or of God and so forth, he's not now suggesting that he simply has headed in another direction of the same kind, if I can say it that way. What's behind the argument in Galatians is whether people who are now Christians are obligated then to keep the practices of the law of Moses, like the Jews would have done. That's what's at stake. And what Paul will say in this letter, chapter 2 and verse 21, I do not nullify the grace of God, for if righteousness were through the law, then Christ died for no purpose. I'm not going to set out in the same kind of requirement as before with the law. At chapter 5, verse 1, for freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. Another way of saying what I'm getting at here is that Paul is not suggesting that he has simply left trying to please one group, the Pharisees and those who admired them, in order to try to please another group, that is, those who have heard him preach the gospel, who may have views about what they think obligation to the law would be. He's after something different than that. So be aware that when we ask this question, these two things Paul cannot mean based on what he says in other places and what he says here. Now, so if we're somebody who wants to answer our question, I'm seeking the approval of God and not of man. I'm a servant of Christ and not trying to please people. If we're people who take that view, and that's what we're trying to notice from Galatians, that's the proper approach, then what does Paul call for us to do with this intention and as far as how we're living our lives goes? Well, this would be the other chapters of this letter. And if you're afraid that in seeking to please God and not men, and seeking the approval of God and not men, if you're afraid you can't do that, or if you're afraid you won't know what to do, or if you're afraid you're gonna mess that up, if we do these three things, it's gonna be all right. We'll have the approval of God and of the people who matter in this world. Number one, Paul says, commit yourself to the faith of Christ as it has been revealed, as it's been made known. Commit yourself to that and don't step back from it. Don't stand for its being compromised in some way. Just have an overriding loyalty to Christ and a desire to please God and to have His approval. In Galatians 2 at verse 20, there's this wonderful statement. I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. That's to be... I belong to Him, in other words. I'm loyal to Him. Now, in practice, what this meant for Paul is that if necessary, he would speak up to Peter or even to his friend Barnabas. And that's what Galatians chapter 2 really is all about. The man's courage, his moral courage, his integrity is in view here. Galatians 2 and verse 5, when there are people who come in when the gospel is preached to Gentiles and who slip in and who try to make requirements of them that the gospel doesn't ask of them. And Paul says, to them we did not yield in submission even for a moment, so that the truth of the gospel might be preserved for you. This is the behavior of the man who's crucified with Christ. And his his loyalty to that great commitment explains his actions, even in the situations where there was controversy. Second, this letter says to us, you who are in Christ, think of yourselves as, identify yourself as a child of God. Try to think of growing as a Christian in terms of becoming more and more of the spirit, of the attitude of someone inwardly, of the comfort of someone who is a child of God. In Galatians 3, verses 26 and following, we read a Sunday morning or two ago about our place as God's, as heirs of the promise. In chapter 4 and verse 1 beginning, Paul enlarges on that point, and he talks about what God has done to redeem those who are under the law so that we might receive adoption as sons. End of verse 5. Now look at verses 6 and 7. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Abba is the Aramaic word for father, the Hebrew word for father, and it's the word a child would use. So I've heard someone suggest a good way to translate it, my father, my own dear father. That kind of thinking toward God is what I mean by identifying as a child of God. Verse 7, so you're no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. You do what a child in God's family would do because that's your nature, because you intend to be like your father, and not simply because you're a slave under orders that you would prefer not to have. Commit to the faith of Christ, identify as a child of God, and thirdly, in this letter, it calls for us to walk by the Spirit. And since we spent all summer in Galatians chapter 5, you'll have this in mind, hopefully, but the way we overcome the works of the flesh, the way the fruit of the Spirit becomes characteristic in our lives is what I mean by this phrase here. Verse 8, verse 16, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Verse 18, but if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Verse 25, if we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. And the emotional and ethical action a result of that are the burden of this whole chapter 5. I'm not seeking the approval of men, but of God. I'm not trying to please men because I'm a servant of Christ. That doesn't mean I don't care people like me or not. And it doesn't mean that I'm just want to impose another program on people's lives. It's because I'm committed to the faith of Christ. I think of myself as a child of God, and I'm trying to walk by, be led by, and live by the Spirit of God. Notice Father, Son, and Spirit in that line of thought. In John chapter 5 and verse 44, during one of the discussions in the period of controversy in Jesus' ministry, he said, how can you believe when you receive glory from one another and do not seek the glory that comes from the only God? That's the other end of this same question. Once we believe, we ought to be seeking the glory of the only God and not simply of man. Galatians 6 and verse 14, Paul ends by saying, "But far be it from me to boast or to glory, except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world." That's a Christian way of thinking. And we encourage each other in that direction tonight. If you're someone who intends to or desires to glory in Christ, if you've not made the good confession, and if you haven't have a desire tonight to be baptized into Christ, or if there is a way in which you need your brothers and sisters in the Lord to pray with you about something, we'll sing this song, and if you need to come, please do so while we stand and sing.